Thank you very much indeed for your prayers as I and Peter went to India. And I have put a brief notice on the notice sheet. And just to say again, the preaching conference went really well. The visits to the villages went really well. And the trip up country exceeded my expectations by some measure. And I've come back with a proposal to recast the vision of our partnership with brothers and sisters in South India, which I'll take to the PCC, and hopefully after then I'll be in a position to make a longer report to the parish. But thank you for your prayers. There were a few pictures we put on with the notices before the service. Hope that helped and tied in with the notice. While I'm talking about prayer, please pray for Val Hindmarsh. Some of you will know her. She's a regular at the 9:30 service. And this coming week, she's got a national selection conference for ordination training in the Church of England. So please pray for her at this time of testing her call. Now, let's turn to that Bible reading we had just now. If you've got church Bibles, it's there in the New Testament section on page 112. And it'd probably be helpful to have a look at it as we follow through. It's John chapter 14, and it is one of those purple passages. That's the phrase Andy used of the E100 Bible reading aid. And a purple passage is one of those passages that you recognize when you come upon it and say, I've heard this before. This is a well-known one. And as we work our way through the conversations and actions of Jesus and his 12 closest followers at the Last Supper in the upper room, in these chapters of John, the night before Jesus was crucified, we have reached John chapter 14, verse 1. The place that lots of people hear this is as the Bible reading at funeral services. And it's some of Jesus' teaching on heaven and how to get there. Now, I know some people in our society try to say that Christianity should just be about serving the needy and loving your neighbour. And they say that all this talk of heaven is unnecessary and unhelpful. But you'd have to say, reading through the gospel, that Jesus begs to disagree. Here he is on the last night before his death, wanting to talk about the things which matter most, and he steers the conversation towards heaven and how to get there. Because it matters to Jesus, and Jesus knows it matters to people, and especially people who are troubled. Chapter 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," says Jesus. "Believe in God. Believe also in me." Yes, Jesus has said already in chapter 13, following him is about serving one another. And yes, Jesus says it towards the end of chapter 13, he's loved us so that we love one another as brothers and sisters, fellow disciples. But Christianity is not just service and love. It's believing Jesus in order to be with him in the future, which is all the more important when life gets troubling. And that's how the conversation's gone. Can you see in verse 37, just before, Peter had talked about being willing to give his life for Jesus. The conversation had took a more serious turn. And then in verse 38, Jesus predicted Peter would deny he knew him three times before that night had even finished. The situation was obviously urgent, and it was very troubling. But Jesus has encouragement for those with troubled hearts. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." So for a start, it's about believing in Jesus. And belief is taking someone at their word, trusting what they say. We can believe Jesus because he is someone whose talk and actions hang together. Jesus says what he does and does what he says. And the evidence of his actions and teaching is compelling. And it makes sense. And it's good and right and worth following. Believe in me, says Jesus, for a start. And then he talks about heaven and how to get there. Do you ever hear people talk about heaven? Sometimes, maybe. I do a fair amount because I do quite a lot of funerals and go along to the wakes afterwards and mingle amongst the people. And people often talk about heaven in a rather vague and wishful sort of way. You know, the great golf club in the sky. Or the big family reunion. And I think people do get sentimental. But Jesus isn't sentimental, even though he's there at such a difficult time for himself and for his followers. He's not sentimental, but he does use a vivid picture, a picture of heaven. Is it the picture of a golf club? No. Is it the picture of a church? No. Is it the picture of a family reunion? No, not exactly. It's the picture, can you see in verse 2, of a house. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. So heaven, says Jesus, is like a very big house with many, many rooms. And then Jesus talks a bit about how we get there. It's his Father's house. And Jesus himself books the rooms. Can you see? In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. In the 1960s in our country, foreign holidays were completely transformed. I think before that, if you did go on foreign holidays, then you just set off and you hoped that you found places to stay as you went around. But from round about the 60s onwards, people like Thomas Cook said, "If you come into our shop on the high street today, then we can book everything in Spain for June. And it's all sorted. Just come with us. You'll turn up at the airport in June and everything will happen as we promised." And this transformation was amazing. And we take it for granted now, but it was amazing. And it meant that so many more people looked to take a foreign holiday. Well, that's a bit like Jesus' proposal to us. Believe in me now, says Jesus, and I'll come back then and take you to my Father's house with many rooms. And you'll be in our hands, in my hands, says Jesus. I've sorted it. That's heaven and how to get there, says Jesus. Hang on a minute, says Thomas, verse 5. We don't know where heaven is. How can we know to get there? Because Jesus had said in verse 4, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. So I'm really grateful to Thomas. He asked good questions at good times. And so many of us have questions about heaven. And one of the questions I hear most of all is people saying, sometimes rather dismissively, where is it then? What about a map to get there? Well, Thomas said, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus is glad of the question, and he answers it. Jesus said to him, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. In other words, says Jesus, you don't need a map. I'm the way to get there. It's like the Thomas Cook thing. You didn't need a map to get there. You just met them at the airport, got on the plane, met some other Thomas Cook person at the other end, and they took you to an apartment. You don't need a map. You don't even need to know where it is in advance. So that's what Jesus is saying. You don't need a map. I'm the way to get there. If you're in a good friendship with me, says Jesus, then I'll take you there. That's how it works. There's an illustration from my childhood. I lived in a place where there was this massive, really posh house on the end of the road. And quite a few of us boys used to walk past it and think, oh, I'd really like to see in there. And we used to talk about it quite a lot. And even the one who was the paper boy for that house had never actually gone in. And we wondered, well, how can we? What can you do? Then when we were at secondary school, we found out that the son of the people who had the house was in the year below us at school. And so we recognized that the way to go into the house was to get to know the son. Because we knew if we made friends with the son, then we would be invited into the house. And so it was. That's the picture of heaven, as Jesus talks about his Father's house. And the way to get in is to know the Son, who will then invite you in and welcome you in. To have a good relationship with the Son is the thing that matters. That's the thing that counts. It's the only thing that counts. As Jesus says with regard to heaven in verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. So we can't just barge into someone's house. We can't just barge into heaven. We can't go thinking, I'm an important person. I've done lots of good things. I deserve to go to the Father's house. It doesn't work like that. That's not what it's about. It's about knowing the Son as a good friend, and therefore being welcomed into the house of the Father. And without knowing the Son of the house, we'll not be going over the doorstep. However important we think we are, however good we think we've been, however much we think we might deserve it, however much we've talked about it. This is heaven and how to get there, says Jesus. It makes sense. And Jesus is very clear and helpful and reassuring to his followers on that night where they needed reassuring more than anything. It's all about knowing Jesus and being in a right relationship with him. And so Jesus reassured his faithful followers. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So to see God, you need to see Jesus. And we can, because Jesus was seen and heard and touched and tested, and we have the eyewitness accounts. And to know God and to be welcomed into his heavenly house, we need to know Jesus as a good friend in a right relationship. Because if we know Jesus, we know the Father in heaven. Jesus addresses these things. It's one of the most important things, especially for those with troubled hearts who aren't sure what tomorrow is bringing. His words are clear and helpful. And it is a challenge. The challenge is for us to know Jesus and become his friend. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are clear and helpful. Please help us to respond well to your offer. Amen.